Hello and welcome to episode 8 of this series of embryology podcasts. And this podcast will be talking about the development of the
urinary system.
Urinary system. So the kidney, ureters a little bit.
Bit of bladder.
Urethra.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Good. Well, you're going to take the lead on this one again, aren't you? Because you lecture in this, and my voice is going because I was teaching for 3 hours yesterday and I can't talk, so I'm drinking Coke.
Whatever.
I might follow up with burps.
Yeah, but before we sort of dive in head first, do you want to just mention a little bit about our new...
Sideline.
Yeah, sideline.
Well, it's not even a sideline, is it? Because we're not really going to get paid for it.
No.
But yes, we're going to, as well as doing these audio podcasts in embryology, we've started putting together a few little bite-sized snippets of anatomy teaching, but in a video podcast format. And we're still playing around with these and putting a few together and getting them the right size and that sort of thing. But hopefully we'll be putting those out soonish.
Yeah, they're not available yet. But like I say, like Sam said, we're still sort of playing around. But I think the potential for them is really, really good. And I mean, they're just short little bits of anatomy, so nobody gets confused.
Yeah, and the trick is to do something different to what's already out there. I mean, Robert Ackland already does a superb set of DVDs, which are obviously something you have to buy.
And we're not even going for that.
We're not going anywhere near that. No, we're creating the cheap and nasty free resource. We have a reasonable understanding of, you know, what students try to revise and what students try to remember. So we're kind of aiming it towards those things.
Yeah, they'll be about as polished as the podcasts.
Not that good.
Yeah, they'll be fantastic.
And we'll be on camera.
Yeah, so I'll have to brush my hair or something.
Ah, that's a good idea. But those will be coming up probably in the next 4 to 6 weeks or so. I guess we'll put them in the same podcast stream, will we?
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
You know more about that sort of stuff.
I haven't worked it all out yet.
Cool. Okay, so you can look forward to those, and I'm sure we'll all let you know when they come out. But back onto what we're doing today, the urinary system. I'll just go, shall I?
Yes, no, I was just thinking how relevant this was, drinking Coca-Cola with the caffeine
and the diuretic. If you hear the door going halfway through, Sam's had to leave for a pee. Right, okay.
So how are we going to structure this then? We'll talk about the kidney and how that...
We'll start top to bottom.
And that, when we talk about the kidney, that'll lead us into kind of the collecting ducts and the urinary drainage system, won't it? Lead us into the ureter.
Yep.
And then we'll get down to the bladder, which is actually an area we've already looked at a little bit. Because when we looked at the hind gut and the cloaca, we looked at the bladder, probably. And urethra, and then it shouldn't take too long at all, should it?
I think it'll be easy.
Go on then, crack on. Where does the kidney develop? What does it develop from?
Well, if you can cast your minds back to our trilaminar disc, where we've got our ectoderm, mesoderm, and endoderm, okay? I think you'll remember from the last one... That was the Coke bottle flying across the room. You can remember that the mesoderm actually separates out into three different parts. You've got the paraxial mesoderm, which is around the notochord and the neural tube. And that goes to be the somites. You've got the lateral mesoderm. That's right on the lateral end of it. That's going to donate cells for the limb bud. And then we've got the intermediate mesoderm, and that's in the middle. So our urinary system is going to develop from intermediate mesoderm, okay? And as the embryo folds around, we've got the two different types of folding, the caudocranial, head-to-toe folding, and we've also got around the lateral folding as well.
Sure.
So as it does that, we develop a ridge of intermediate mesoderm, and it's actually called the urogenital ridge.
There's a clue.
Yeah. So the urogenital ridge is going to end up forming the urinary system and the genital system. The part that forms the urinary system is called the nephrogenic cord. Okay. The part that forms the genital system is called the gonadal ridge, but we'll talk about that when we do the genital system podcast, okay? So we've gone from intermediate mesoderm to the urogenital ridge to the nephrogenic cord, okay? So that's all happening sort of about 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
26 days coming into the fourth week. And it's really into the fourth week when we start to see... the specific development of kidney type structures.
Okay. Okay. So the kidney then is developing from mostly mesodermy stuff.
Kidneys develop from mesoderm, yeah.
What about endoderm and ectoderm? They play a role?
Yeah, the endoderm which remember we all saw as the gut tube forming. Okay, so part of the urinary system that forms from endoderm is the bladder and the urethra, and then a little part of urethra is formed from ectoderm, but we'll go into that a bit later. Am I sounding okay?
Yeah.
Good. So we've got that. So let's start on the mesoderm kidneys. Okay, so there are three types of kidney that form.
Yeah, because this is a bit weird, isn't it? Instead of having one kidney developing on each side, we've got three on each side.
Essentially, yeah. The first one's called the pronephros or pronephroi. That's the plural. It doesn't work. It doesn't function as a kidney. It just looks a little bit like the next one that we'll look at. Apparently, it's analogous to kidneys of primitive fish, but I don't know anything else about that.
Uh-huh.
So we've got the pronephros that forms. It has nephrotomes, which include tubules, and it also has a I can't remember what it's called. Pronephric duct as well. So it's got a pronephric duct and it also has tubules. Okay, so they're collectively nephrotomes. Next part of the kidney that forms is the mesonephros, okay? This is getting a little bit more interesting. So the mesonephros begins...
Well, the mesonephros is getting a bit more interesting.
Yeah. Pronephros is boring, it doesn't do anything.
Okay.
Mesonephros is a little bit more interesting because it does do something. It starts to develop in the fourth week.
So it has a job in the late embryo fetus.
It has a function. It okay. is there to make some urine.
Good.
Okay, so like I said, it begins to form in the fourth week. It makes urine by the sixth week, but it actually then begins to degenerate between 7 and 10 weeks. Okay, so it's not really doing much for very long, but it is an important part. It consists of segmented parts, so tubules, like the nephrotomes. The pronephros has it, and the mesonephros, they both have nephrotomes.
Right. Nephrotomes are...
The tubules.
So the functional units. The functional units. The kidney.
Okay. So we have those. We also have the mesonephric duct. Now that's quite important because the nephrotomes, the urine that they produce, gets collected in the mesonephric duct and then flows down and enters the cloaca.
Which we've talked about earlier.
Which we mentioned, yeah. So mesonephros is important. Quite a big structure, one on both sides. That's about it.
Okay, and the third pair of kidney structures?
Okay, the third is called metanephros. Okay, they end up being our permanent kidneys. They're the ones, you know, that we have the ureter attached and it's all very functional, very, very like the adult structure.
The ureter attached.
What did I say?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, ureter.
Okay, so we have pronephros, a mesonephros, and a metanephros on each side.
Yeah, the metanephros begins to form in the fifth week. Okay, so and we'll look a little bit more about that.
It's the later of the three.
Yeah, it's the last one to form. And it actually begins to produce urine after about the ninth week. Cool. So we've done the pronephros, insignificant in man, very high up in the neck part of the embryo.
We've done the mesonephros.
Mesonephros we've done lower down, so more caudal to the pronephros, but above the developing metanephros. Happy with that? I think so. Metanephros now. So this is obviously...
So these are kind of running on the posterior wall of the embryo.
Yep.
Kind of along the full length of the gut tube. Because this is a very small embryo.
Yeah. And think about where the kidneys end up in man. You know, they're posterior abdominal walls.
Posterior middly.
Middly part, yeah. All right, so how does our metanephros form? Because it doesn't form along the same sort of lines as the pronephros and the mesonephros, okay? If you remember, the mesonephros that's formed... all the urine flows down the mesonephric duct, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, the mesonephric duct has a budding or a diverticulum, if you like. It's called the ureteric bud or the metanephric diverticulum. whichever one you prefer. It can be called both and often is. Okay.
So why is the ureteric bud important?
Well, it's it buds off, and it's important to remember it's at the caudal end of the mesonephric duct, okay?
Yep.
And it's very important because this is going to be, clues in the name, ureteric, it's going to be the ureter, but it's also going to branch off, and it ends up forming all sorts of different parts, the tubular structures of the kidney.
So the ureteric bud's going to be the ureter,
yep,
and it's going to be all those urine collecting spaces within the kidney.
That's exactly it. So the pelvis, the major calyx, the minor calyx, and also all the collecting tubules all form from branches of the ureteric bud. And the other part of the kidney forms from some mesoderm that's still around, okay? Some metanephric mesoderm. From intermediate mesoderm. It's important to remember it's still from intermediate mesoderm. And that basically makes a cap over the ureteric bud. And when the ureteric bud branches, kind of the cap stays on it. So the ureteric bud branches, so the first four times end up being the major calyces. The next four times it branches, you get the minor calyces. Then you get the collecting tubules, just keeps branching. And then as those collecting tubules branch out and come into contact with cells from the metanephric cap, there's a sort of reciprocal signaling going on.
Yep.
And then the cells in the metanephric cap are induced to form what will end up being neurons. Nephrons.
Big jump there.
Yeah, I hate neuroanatomy.
So there we have the two parts of the kidney, the nephrony part and the collecting part.
So close, I just ballsed up the punchline. Right, so the nephrons that are forming from the metanephric cap, okay, there's condensations of cells, and they basically come together and they end up forming what we call a renal vesicle or a metanephric vesicle, okay? Remember, both names. And then the vesicles basically expand, forming tubules, also renal or metanephric names. So the tubules that form then from the metanephric cap come into contact with the end, with the distal end of the collecting tubule. Okay?
Yep.
So, and remember, in adult life, that's completely continuous, okay?
Yes.
So that's one end. At the other end, the tubule, so the metanephric tubule, is forming what looks very like is going to be the Bowman's capsule.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we get that kind of cupped appearance of it. And then also there are groups of capillaries that are coming in and getting closer and closer. They become all twisted and you basically get your glomerulus. And then as development goes on, the glomerulus comes into very close contact with the Bowman's capsule, or renal corpuscle, if you like. Then we get all the physiology stuff that goes on, and we actually get the production, the filtering of the blood and the production of urine, which can then travel along the tubule that has elongated, and then we've got, you know, all the different parts of the nephron. I'm not going to go into them now. Then they flow straight through into the collecting tubule.
Excellent. And they're off. So we can see how the ultrastructure of the kidney develops. So the key words there are ureteric bud and metanephric cap.
Yeah, it's not really that, it's not too difficult. Excellent.
Okay, next.
Next, we'll look at, well, we've done the ureter, we've done the kidneys.
Well, we want to talk about how we go from having three kidneys on either side to just having one kidney on either side.
Oh, right, that's easy. They degenerate.
Yeah, okay. But we started off with kidneys at different heights and we end up with kidneys in the midline. Kidneys descend or descend.
Oh, I see where you're going.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you can remember the picture or find a picture of where the ureteric bud buds off at the caudal end of the mesonephric duct, you'll see how low down in the embryo it is developing, okay? And it gets its blood supply from the nearest blood vessel, okay? So that's going to be, it was pretty close to the iliac branches of the aorta, right? So the embryo is still developing at this time. Everything's growing and
they're getting longer.
Bit of a growth spurt in the lumbar and the sacral regions, okay? So effectively what happens is the embryo grows away, and which makes the lower end of the embryo grows away, which causes the kidneys to appear to ascend.
The embryo lengthens and the kidneys relatively ascend to their adult position.
We call it the ascent of the kidney. So,
top banana.
Yeah.
And of course, we can talk about the gonads in a similar way. Probably in the next podcast.
Yeah, I think that's best. But what another important thing is when the kidneys do ascend, their blood supply changes. So they will get their blood supply from whichever part of the aorta is nearest to them. So as they're, you know, as it were, moving up the abdomen, their old blood supply will degenerate, a new one will arise, that kind of thing.
Yeah, neat.
And they stop when they reach the adrenal glands or the suprarenal glands. They kind of hit that and that's their...
crash into the adrenal glands.
Oof. Cool. So that's really everything...
Well, that's the kidneys.
The kidneys and the ureter.
And the ureter. So the ureters then convey urine down into the bladder.
Yeah.
So how does the bladder develop?
Okay, well, we mentioned the bladder because we mentioned the cloaca, which was part of the hindgut. Okay, so if you can remember back to the hindgut.
Yeah, we've already seen the cloaca when we looked at the gut.
Exactly. And we know that the mesonephric ducts also emptied into the cloaca, okay?
Yep.
So it kind of makes sense for that to develop into the bladder because that's where all the urine's going anyway. So, but what actually happens in the cloaca is there is a division, okay? There's a septum that grows down. We've got to divide it into ventral and dorsal parts.
So into urogenital and hindgut parts.
Yeah.
Rectum.
Rectum parts. And so there is a septum that grows down. It's got a couple of different names, but it's essentially along the lines of the urogenital septum or the urorectal septum. So that goes down and splits them into urogenital sinus, which is ventral, and the rectum, which is dorsal. Sweet.
Yeah.
Now...
so the urogenital sinus, anteriorly, that's going to be the space that becomes urogenital stuff.
Yes.
Bladder.
Yeah. Clues in the name.
Urethra.
Yeah. So everything is still draining into the urogenital sinus, okay? Now, there are three parts of the urogenital sinus. Okay, vesicle, phallic, pelvic and phallic in that order. Okay, so vesicle is like the top part and that makes most of the bladder, pretty much all of it. And then we've got the next bit down is the pelvic part. Now that makes the part of the urethra that comes out of the bladder at the neck of the bladder.
Uh-huh.
And in women, it makes all of the urethra. So it makes all the way through. And in men, it makes, well, most of it. And we'll talk about the little bit that's not made from that later.
Yes. Save that for the reproductive one.
Yeah. And then the last part of the urogenital sinus is called the phallic part. And clues in the name there as well, because that ends up going towards being part of the primordium for the penis and the clitoris. Okay. So we'll leave that there and we'll cover that when we do the genital system.
Sure.
So the bladder is essentially formed from the vesicle part of the urogenital sinus, but there is an...
vesicle, bladder.
Yeah. There's an important part of the bladder that we call the trigone. Okay. And that's actually formed from the caudal ends of the mesonephric duct that become incorporated into the bladder. Okay. So that's on the posterior wall.
Okay. So we've got the bladder forming from... part of the urogenital sinus, which was the cloaca, from part of it is formed from the mesonephric duct.
Yeah.
And the allantois?
The allantois is a funny little thing. Like we mentioned before that it isn't that important in humans.
In non-egg.
Yes.
People.
I love those egg people, don't you? Right. So the allantois actually ends up becoming quite a thick fibrous cord, and we call it the uracus. I don't know where the name came from, I'll be honest. But do you know? No. Okay, so the allantois, basically, we know it's got a lumen. We know it's continuous and it, you know, it comes out of the umbilica. But basically, the lumen becomes obliterated. I like that word. So it becomes this thick fibrous cord called the uracus. And actually, in adults, it's the median umbilical ligament, which is at the apex of the bladder. Okay, so that's important to remember. It's just a nice, you know, it's a remnant, an embryological remnant, and it's very clear in the adult.
Yes, Okay. So most of the bladder, though, is formed from the vesical part of the urogenital sinus. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Sweet. And so really, that's the bladder. And we've covered the urethra as well, although there was a little bit about the urethra, the male urethra, that I should probably mention about now.
Can do.
Well, we mentioned that most of the male urethra is formed from the pelvic part of the urogenital sinus, okay? But there's a little bit that grows in from the glands of the penis, and it grows in as a cord of cells, which ends up canalizing and coming into contact with the endodermal part, which is the urogenital sinus, ends up coming into contact with them, and they become continuous. So that ingrowth from the glands of the penis is actually ectoderm. So the last part of the male urethra has an ectodermal origin, and the rest is endodermal.
So we have ectoderm, endoderm, and then the mesoderm of the kidney.
Yeah. Clear?
Yeah.
Cool.
Good stuff. Sweet. Well, thanks, Ree.
I think that's it.
And then urine is expelled into the amniotic?
Yeah, interestingly, because I know that some people will be thinking, oh, but I thought there was a membrane over the, you know, how does it work? The membrane ruptures about the 7th week. So that's how urine can flow out into the amniotic fluid.
After the urogenital septum has reached that membrane.
Yeah, the cloacal membrane, it ruptures.
Then it ruptures and you have the two holes.
Yeah, exposure to the external environment.
Yes, excellent. Okay, thanks. That was really well done, Ree.
Oh, thanks. It's not a difficult subject. And quite often you'll notice in all the textbooks that the urinary system and the genital system, you know, are in one chapter. So they're very closely linked. And remember that the mesonephric duct I will be discussing when we do the genital system, because it makes some things in the man, but not in the lady.
Mesonephric duct versus paramesonephric duct.
Dun, dun, dun. We'll have to save that one for
All right, time for a cup of tea.
Yep, I'm in. All right, thanks, Sam.
Cheers. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.
See you next time. Ta-ra.